Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our guest speaker is David Goldsmith, executive coach, thought leader, and educator. I met David in one of WBEC World Business and Executive Coaching Certification Program that was called ACE Plus, Accelerating Coach Excellence and a Mastery in Catalytic Coaching. He taught me along with David Peterson, which may his soul is resting in peace, and he's here with us in the spirits today, how to be an organic and a better coach who digs deeper and is more efficient in a limited coaching time with clients. David Goldsmith earned his Bachelor of Science from Cornell University and has numerous global coaching credential engagements. He is a 33-year pioneer and one of the founders of the executive coaching profession and one of the founding fathers of Foundation of Coaching by incorporating and launching ICF, International Coach Federation, which is the largest association of coaches worldwide with over 50,000 members. And he also co-founded and contributed to the Foundation of Coaching, which is now the Institute of Coaching Harvard McLean Hospital. I have to mention, I'm an active member in both of these organizations and fond of what they do for the profession of coaching. A little more about David. He currently works in tech, healthcare, construction, and professional services. He is actively engaged with senior leaders from Google, Meta, BCG, Northstar, and Presbyterian Healthcare Services, along with an array of many startups, entrepreneurs, and professionals. David is the founder and executive director of the Seven Paths Forward, and his mission is to grow the quality of coaching and leadership worldwide. And if I'm not mistaken, he currently lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It is interesting to know that he also trained the first coaches in Japan and helped establish the first Japanese coaching company in 1997 named Coacha.com. Last not least, he organized innovative global coaching conferences and was the first to showcase coaching research. So happy to have you here today and welcome to our podcast, David.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be with you. I'm so glad to get to spend this time with you.
Same here. David, let us know, what else do you like the world to know about you? I mean, in a personal or professional level.
I love working globally, and right now I'm exploring spending a significant chunk of my time in Melbourne, Australia, and understanding and appreciating the culture in Australia. It's a country I've spent and visited a lot, and I'm really enjoying spending time there. Australia has a great coffee culture, and I love a good espresso, so I spend a lot of time tracking down a great coffee, so that fits that passion. I love to bake. I am a big fan of really interesting cheeses. So those are some of the things that I'm passionate about, and I'm a newly minted grandfather in the last couple of years, and delighting and seeing our first grandchild grow and acquire language and sentences and skills and memory, and just seeing that growth week by week by week is really a treat. So that's some of what's exciting me.
Yeah, congratulations of enjoying the new life in your family and also enjoying your passion, you know, coffee and coaching both in both sides of the world, you know, from Australia to here, United States. And David, tell us that you have been one of the founding fathers of the coaching and co-founder of the ICF, as I mentioned. Please tell us a little bit about the history of coaching overall and what is coaching to your opinion?
So early on, when coaching started to become popular, or at least known, one of the things that was really interesting is there would be an article about coaching. And then people would read that article and they'd say, hey, John or Sally, this is what you do. There's now a name for it. So what was really cool is that people started being recognized for a skill that they naturally had. And that enabled coaching to grow really quickly in a really interesting kind of way. In the early days, if I said that I was a coach, people would say, Little League, soccer, you don't seem very athletic. I'd say, no. I'm working with people and helping them in business coaching and growing and doing a better job as an executive. And they'd say, oh, that's so interesting. And we would talk about it. So it was really fun to do that. There was a time when you wouldn't see coaching like you and I do ever mentioned in a newspaper or very rarely. And then there was a period of time when I would notice that you couldn't read the Wall Street Journal on any given day and not see coaching the way we talked about being described. So I knew that coaching had become something that was important and that was popular. One of the things that happened early on was Thomas Leonard and I were spinning up a lot of different things. And one of the projects on Thomas's list of things to do was to have a federation for coaches. And I remember calling him one day and saying, hey, Thomas, I think we have a critical mass of coaches, and these folks want a place to gather. They want an association. They want a conference. They want to be able to get together and engage with each other. So I think it's time for us to launch this coaching federation idea that's been on your project plan. Mm-hmm. And he said, great, let's do that. So we incorporated the International Coaching Federation. We picked the first board of directors. We picked the first chapter hosts and got it going. And now ICF is a huge organization with lots and lots of members worldwide, a very robust certification process, and it's grown tremendously and hopefully been a big contributor to the efficacy of coaching in the world. So I'm really proud that we were able to get that going and really proud of all the people, the hundreds of volunteers and executives and directors who have devoted countless hours to growing that organization and making it the success that it's been. Thomas and I started it, but the hard work was a bunch of other people. So I'm really glad to see that it's turned out.
Yeah, thank you very much for being an ignite for it. And I didn't know all these facts about you while I was working with you during the pandemic, as you know, until I saw, you know, your bio the other day. And I said, oh my God, that's not possible. So how did I miss this? You're such a humble man. So talking about the coaching, so what is coaching? I mean, in a plain language, what is coaching to your opinion? And what does the great coaching means and the business of a great coach is?
Coaching is having a conversation with somebody that has action and growth as a central core. So if you and I were two friends and we were complaining about something that happened at a store or complaining about something in our lives, and all we did was just complain or whine to each other, that's a conversation. As a coach, if you came to me and said, you know, I'm newly employed, I now finally have money, and I don't know what to do about it, I could say, yeah, I don't know either. But what I want to do is help people get into action, getting something done, moving forward, making some progress. So as a coach, I can ask some questions that get people into action and create a structure for that. And I had a chance to do that with a woman in Australia 6 months ago, and she had no idea what to do. And we chatted for just under 5 minutes. I asked three or four short questions, which had her at the end going and calling her bank and figuring out, is her money in a savings account with a proper interest rate? And while she called the bank, she also was able to get something else solved that she'd been putting off for a year. So I think a big element of coaching is having people get into action and take movement on what matters to them. Not just talking about it, not just complaining about it, not just thinking of good ideas, but actually going and doing something. And I think that's a big difference. And that's what I think coaching is, distinct from a conversation with friends. And as a coach, I'm less concerned about how did we get here, or what is the pathology or dysfunction that may have happened in your childhood, or what are some of the things that caused you to relate poorly. That's the job of a therapist, and they're really talented people to do that. My job is to say, okay, you know all this. Now, what do you want to do? Where are we going to go? What do we want to make happen? And how do we set it up so that you can actually this afternoon go get something done? I think the distinction that great coaching adds is your ability to do this quickly, efficiently, with greater impact, and to be able to do it with more people in a range of complicated situations. So if you think of a master carpenter might be able to build a limited set of things, and they might have a pretty good toolbox. A master carpenter might have an extensive toolbox and have a range of building a whole variety of projects. Both of them could build simple things, but the master carpenter can do the more complicated thing, can do the more specialized thing, and might have the better tool in his toolbox to do it more effectively.
I mean, the way you said the coaches are holding the client's hands from present to the future. And that's the difference between the coaching and therapy as well, that the focus is more toward the past. And also the way that I know there is education in coaching. There is kind of, you know, not directive, but they are providing education for the clients with the metaphor that you use, you know, providing them the tools in their toolbox for the craft and arts that they want to make through series of questions, of the curious questions that they have for the clients with their knowledge, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, wonderful. And I mean, we are in the era of the AI. So how do you think that the AI is going to affect coaching?
I think it's going to have a big impact, but it may not be as scary as people think. I think the robots are definitely coming, and I think they have a lot of capabilities that when properly matched together are going to be pretty potent. Right now, AI is very good for providing a lot of information. So if you're a coach who does a lot of education and provides a lot of information to people, your practice is pretty threatened by AI. AI can do it faster, cheaper, and more depth and far more broadly than you could as a brilliant coach. If your focus is on helping people get into action and glean insights that are the right insights for them that they can act on, AI isn't very good at that right now. AI can ask some pretty good questions. You can program an AI to do some branched questioning, but it's not set up to create an action loop in an effective way. That's not to say that it won't and can't, but that's not the first use case, and it's not where people are focusing their efforts. So AI can do a lot of augmentation. AI is going to be a great help in synthesizing a 360 feedback set of sessions, and it might create more insightful analysis. We're doing some experiments right now on that to see if we can actually get better, more insightful results using AI on our 360 analysis. AI can be a terrific thing for you to partner with as a coach. So if a client wakes up in the middle of the night and says, I got to prepare for a meeting tomorrow and I'm nervous about this or that, if there's a way that they can engage with a robot that you're connected to and get that just-in-time information when you as a coach might not be available because, hey, maybe it's the middle of the night, they can get a lot of value. The robot can let you know, by the way, your client reached out and needed some help with this. I provided this, 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 and this. And then when you next meet with that client, you can refer back to that session and deepen it and get them more into action and provide more insights. So there's a way to partner with AI that's going to be very powerful. Where I think we're headed for in the future, and there's a bunch of privacy and security issues that I don't know how they're going to resolve. Yeah. But one of the things that's been happening is with Siri and Alexa and Google Assistant, we've been getting comfortable talking to robots. And we have conversations, hey, Siri, do this or that, to the point where Siri sometimes all of a sudden turns on and says something, and you'll say, instead of just ignoring it, you say, stop it, I wasn't talking to you. It's just a robot. They don't care. So when you combine our comfort with talking to robots, and by the way, we are more disclosing to robots than humans, so that's a disadvantage for the coach. And then you take voice recognition, which gets better every day. You take the science that's being worked on to be able to recognize tone and intent and visual cues.
Yeah.
And you can feed that all into a system. And then if Alexa has access to hundreds of thousands of coaching conversations with some idea of which paths were successful and which paths weren't successful, and she takes all of that information, she could become a pretty good coach over time. And I think that's where we're headed. And I think that's the thing that we have to be concerned about. It's not a next 5-year problem, but it's for sure a 10 to 15-year problem. And partly what's going to drive that also is organizations are always looking to reduce spend. And if a company says, we've got a great new AI robot and it will deliver 70% of the quality at 20% of the price, many organizations will say, great, now we can get 5 times as many people in the organization with coaches. That's a pretty good outcome. So if you are earning a living, you're now at some threat for something that's 70% as good as you. Mm-hmm. So this is why we talk about great coaching and why the importance is you have to keep doing the things that AI is not good at and get a name and a reputation for doing them and doing them well, because that's how you can stand out from the robots for some time.
Yeah, and the human connection is one of them. So it's interesting and scary at the same time, you know. And I believe AI is complementary to the practice of the coaching, but eventually it cannot replace the coaches, because part of the coaching is just the filling up that loneliness in the conversation for the people and for the clients. And I don't know how a robot can replace for that human contact and for that loneliness. So unless they come up with something new.
We've seen it demonstrated in movies. We'll see if it really works out and gets programmed that way.
Yeah.
But you can, I think you'd be surprised that people can feel pretty connected to a robot if it's set up the right way.
It is. And there's this new app called Noom. It's just the health, you know, and the wellness app. And it has kind of, you know, this growth program. And you really get attached to them somehow. So the way that you're talking, you know, it really makes sense to me to help you to follow your goals, at least to some limit. But going back to present and your company and your initiatives, you have the 7 paths forward, you know, and I was just curious, why 7?
David Peterson, my co-founder, put together a series of writings about the future of coaching. Mm-hmm. And in that writing, we had 7 different paths about the future. And when we were putting our company together, we cared very much about the future and cared very much about preparing coaches to be well set up for the future. And so we listed out 7 different paths that they could use as ways to help them distinguish themselves from other coaches and so they could stand out. And you're welcome to read that. It's on our website, 7pathsforward.com, and the whole post is there. And I encourage you to read it. It's quite interesting. It gives you a number of different ways, because what's going to be important for each coach that wants to really grow and thrive is, what is your specific path? What is your unique value proposition? How do you make a difference for clients? What's the way you impact people uniquely to you? And this gives you 7 different ways to think about that.
And which one is your favorite one?
I'll give you 2. My favorite one is the 7th one, which is create your own path, which I think is really important. But I think one of the ones that really matters to me is being a true professional, really understanding what it means to be a professional coach and really looking to deliver significant value above and beyond what the client is expecting, and to be able to blow people's minds with value and impact.
Yeah, I love both of them. And especially the seventh one, create your own path. It really makes sense, you know, and talk to me as, you know, in a nonprofit, I kind of created my own path, just starting the initiation, you know, in initiatives in healthcare and education to bring, you know, coaching for the patient's care, you know, and the professionals in healthcare, you know, and the community as a pro bono coaching or other initiatives. And it is really important that how we coaches are creative in what we are doing. And I think that's part of our journey as well. I had the privilege to work as well, you know, with David Peterson, as I mentioned, and you both previously. And I have a story as an NDE and then near-death experience. And I believe that, you know, our soul eternity exists and that our conscious doesn't die. And I actually feel that I'm having this conversation with you today because of David Peterson passing, and was a wake-up call to me and his calling to invite you today and to hear from you. So I just want to, on a personal note, to ask you, as his longtime friend and colleague, what do you think he would have told us about the coaching if he was here physically as well?
David was a very unique and special individual. He was very precise and very careful and very thoughtful in what he did. And one of the hallmarks of David's coaching was there were very few words, and there was a lot of compassion, human emotion present for him. There was humor, there was lightness, but there was an economy of words, and there was a real intentionality and deliberateness to everything that he did. He was an avid collector of wine, and one of the foremost collectors of a number of different particular brands of wine. He has a huge collection of artifacts from that brand of wine. He was a huge collector of music and new music, and constantly challenging himself to learn more and challenge himself with different kinds of music. And those passions all were quite interesting how they interplayed. And he was very serious and very deliberate about his interaction and engagement with each one of them. And I think one of the interesting hallmarks about David is if you were chatting with him and you were having a bad day or something wasn't going well, he would be sympathetic and compassionate for a moment. And then he would pivot towards, okay, now what do you want to do about it?
Yeah. Practical.
Very practical. So there wasn't a lot of room for, but I'm frustrated and annoyed. And he'd say, I get all that. But he would say, okay, I get it. What do you want to do about it? So there was a very kind, gentle push to what do you want to do about it? Where do you want to take it? And I think this goes back to our question earlier about what is coaching. And he never did it in a mean or harsh way, but it was like, I get that. Now, what do you want to do? Okay, yeah. Now what do you want to do? And I think there was a simplicity in how one could experience his coaching, but in some ways, it was very deep and nuanced. But I think if you wanted to take anything away from this conversation to think about for your own coaching, how can I simplify it? How can I clarify it? How can I deliver the most impact in the most efficient way? How can I make the biggest difference with the time I have with this human being and allow them to go off and do the work that they need to do? And I think that's what David really cared about, was how do I make an impact on people that will be long-lasting? We never were one for building long-term dependent relationships. We wanted to be able to equip people with a lot of skills and then go off and use those skills and make amazing things happen. David really wanted to work with young future CEOs because he felt like he could do a great deal shaping them early in their lives. So those are some of the things I think that he would have been telling us about coaching if he was here today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you two have affected and enlightened many coaches in your network and circles. And as I mentioned in ACE Plus, you know, I really learned how to go deeper and faster. And that's what David and you were always just mentioning, that how to go deeper and faster in a limited time of coaching conversation and to make the best results of the time that we have with our clients. And I truly appreciate, you know, your being here today. And I always admired you and the way that you taught us how to be organically, humanly in a coaching session. So coaching is not an interrogation, is not a, you know, a formal interview. And I really learned from you and David both how to be that way with my clients. And I really appreciate your fatherly figure and your fatherly presence and your fatherly advices. And in many ways, I'm missing my dad, and he passed away 10 years ago, but I always feel that you are a father of coaching. I mean, the way that it really is. And thank you so much. And let us know how our listener can find you if they need to reach out to you or they read more about you. And if you have a website, email, I mean, contact numbers, anything.
The best way is to visit with us on 7pathsforward.com. That's the number 7pathsforward.com. Yeah. I'm also on LinkedIn, and you're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn and message me there. And I pay attention to that platform. Those would be the two best ways.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, David, for your presence, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for inviting me and giving us a chance to chat. I really love spending this time with you.
Same here. My pleasure. Look forward to see you again, maybe sometime soon. Goodbye to our listeners. And remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.